Emily Fritz is running for Leon County Commission District 3. She's going to be with me here in the first hour as we talk about what is wrong with Leon County and what do we need to do to fix it. Tom Flanagan is with me in the second hour, the famous, the one, the only Tom Flanagan, marvelous individual. He'll be with me in the second hour to talk about all this that's going on. You stay with me, you're going
to
love it.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done. Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Don't forget. We are here together, you and I, once again, as we gather around the campfire, and you on your side of the world and me on my side, but joined magically through the ingenuity of radio. Here it is. Still, incidentally, one of the most viable media in this age of media plethora. Can we just not say that? Plethora. Plethora. I don't like that word. Plethora. Eh. Let's talk about media proliferation. There we go. Something that has to do with the multiplication of all of the media outlets that are now, every day, part of what we try to swallow. And it's remarkable, the amount of pushback, too. A lot of people I talk to, not necessarily the over 45 crowd, a lot of the folks in their 20s and 30s are like, yeah, I'm done with that, and kind of narrowing it out, narrowing it down, trying to get in touch with a few things that they rely on, you know, for news and entertainment and communication and such. I mean, and yes, right, of course, the mobile phone, the ubiquitous cell phone that we have now, I mean, become as reliant on as we are with automobiles. I think that's a fair statement. Maybe more so. Right? I mean, you don't have to have a car, but you do have to have a phone, apparently, in our modern culture. Anyway, we are together again through the magic of all of these technologies, and radio being our favored choice. Because radio is something that you don't listen to exactly. You do things with it. So wherever you are at the moment, you're maybe, I don't know, driving or eating breakfast or, you know, dressing your kids for the day, trying to figure out if we're going to get more rain today. I think the forecast says yes, according to Slimy Withers, our crack meteorologist here at Tallahassee Talks. We're in the middle of these two high pressure systems that's just sucking the moist air out of the Gulf and dumping it on us. I don't know what we did wrong, but apparently we're paying for it. So for those of you whose skin has not begun to wrinkle yet because of all the water, and you venture out today, well, you know, be careful, be safe, because you know what? Flash floods are a real deal. I mean, Tallahassee still has its dealings with such things, and you go through an intersection that looks like, you know, I can do that, 2 or 3 inches. Well, guess what? Those 2 or 3 inches can become very hazardous if your car begins to hydroplane, or if the current is strong and swift enough. Yeah, you're in trouble. So be careful, and may I say, be prepared. Ooh, nice segue. Prepared for severe weather throughout the year. That's our theme song today. TallahasseePrepared.com is the website. We are in full support of this whole campaign that is designed to inform and alert and remind you that it's not a season. Being prepared is an attitude. It's just a way of thinking. And, you know, our beloved fire chief, Jerome Gaines, he'd be saying yes and amen, brother. I mean, guys with TFD, men and women, they see this happening on a daily basis. Right. Lightning? Hello? Do we not? Yeah. Tallahassee, isn't Tallahassee? Carl, Tallahassee's like the lightning mecca of the South. I'm pretty sure that's true. Carl's doing some fact checking now, just to make sure I'm not misleading you. But apart from our ranking, Tallahassee's lightning is, yeah, significant. Okay, here's the deal. You're at home. It's late at night. And most likely, you're sleeping. Good for you. Everybody's sleeping. The dog is sleeping. But the lightning storm comes, and maybe it wakes you up, and maybe it doesn't, but whatever. Lightning hits the house, hits your house. And according to our friends at TFD, not an uncommon occurrence. A lot of house fires in Leon County, in the Tallahassee area, started because of a lightning strike. Well, okay, bad news. Here's how it gets worse. You are in your bedroom, sleeping. You don't smell the smoke, but there's a fire going on up there in the attic on your roof of your house, and you're not alerted to that. And it is going now for a while. Smoke makes its way into the living area of the house where you are. Not a cool thing. You find yourself either scrambling for your life. I mean, and this is not even to say that the house is probably at risk entirely. I mean, by the time you make this discovery, it could be game over. We'll hope not, but if that happens, it's because that fire up there has been burning and you were unaware of it. Well, how do you fix that? Simple. Put fire and smoke alarms in your attic. Yes. Brilliant. And, Jerome Gaines, our fire chief, he was the one that advised me of this. Well, actually several from the good people at TFD, but we'll credit the fire chief with that. Why not? So prepared, TallahasseePrepared.com is all about that kind of stuff. It's very simple, very direct. Sometimes a bit more complicated, like, do you have an evacuation plan? Think through all of those impossible possibilities, right? It's the unknown unknowns. It's the stuff that you think, that can never happen. Well, imagine if it did happen. What are you going to do? You have to think that way. And that comes by way of people like Sharon Tyler over there at the Red Cross. She's been doing that job here in the county for a number of years, and with Red Cross for another decade or more. She's seen a lot. She was part of the whole recovery effort out there in Texas here a few years back. And that woman has tread some long trails, has trudged onward through some deep waters. No pun intended. Indeed. But in any case, our job, as I see it here, is to support you in your determination to be prepared. That's why this website is there. And all of the people involved in making that website available to you are contributing. We've got a number of organizations, including the Red Cross, Big Bend area, Leon County, City of Tallahassee. They're all referenced there for your sake. So you can get in touch with emergency services. You can get the resources you need. You can get the information you need. We're going to be publishing a guide, a sort of magazine booklet sort of thing called Prepared. And it'll be available later coming up this fall through various retail outlets and from our website and such. So you can get the kind of info that you really need to have on hand in a moment's notice. All of that is about Tallahassee Prepared. Coming up here shortly, I've got Emily Fritz. She's going to be with me talking about her run for Leon County Commission District 3. And then Tom Flanagan will be with us in the second hour. So you stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In our segment two feature today, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of our sponsors. As you recall, this portion of our show we reserve oftentimes for our business spotlight, right? And for over the years that we've been on the air, we've had the privilege, the opportunity to bring to you a lot of different business owners, business people who are entrepreneurial, sort of inventive, creative sort of folks, some long-time established businesses, just speaking to their longevity and how it is that in business it is important to observe certain conditions of both internal and external. In other words, the market that you're appealing to, the direction you're taking your business is going to shift on you. It's inevitable. Smart, savvy, alert business people, especially business owners who adapt over time and adjust, know this and do so as a way of maintaining their viability. A good example of that, and I want to bring them to you here in this moment, our good friends at Widen Glass. Let me talk about a company that started in 1945 when Jack Widen had this nifty idea. I believe it was his brother-in-law who helped get him started here in Tallahassee, the first glass company in Tallahassee. Jack Widen himself went on to serve the community in a number of ways as a commissioner for several terms back in those days, and brought his entire family into this business. And today, now three generations later, you have Jack Widen's grandsons work in the business along with his daughter, Kathy. Well, this is not only a very quaint and charming story about a family business that has served this community for decades, over 70 years have passed, but it speaks to this business of adaptation to an environment. It talks about the flexibility and the manner in which the demand for their products has changed. And even the availability of products that they once found viable, we'll say, or profitable, that shifted. So in the older days of this company, they were doing auto glass as well as doing plate glass for your windows, right? Then came the era of shower and bath enclosures, so they embraced that. Mirrored glass, yes. Tabletops, yes. But auto glass became more and more a specialty. in the glass business at large. So they had to make a decision because it became less and less profitable for them, more and more difficult. Part of that is just the fact that they had to decide how much of that product they could keep on hand, because you roll in there with your, you know, 93 Toyota, and the next guy rolls in with his 2010 Chevy. Well, you know, to accommodate both of you, they'd have to have that on hand, and that became problematic, along with the technical aspects of it, having people that are specialized enough to really do that job well. Anyway, so they made a decision. We're just not going to do auto glass any longer. And you've seen the rise of companies, other companies that specialize in that particular service, that particular product. Good for us, good for the economy, good for business, and good for Wooden Glass. What's remarkable to me, and this is the part I really want to underscore here, Wooden Glass continues that same sort of perspective, I guess, and a way of doing business with their customers that began in 1945. There's a kind of familiarity. There's a kind of congeniality, a friendliness. Some of that that oftentimes has gotten pushed aside in other settings, or maybe gets lost because you're trying to deal with, you know, a big box store. People there don't really know what they're talking about when it comes to glass, let's say, in this case, or just dealing with people in general. And you look for somebody who will hear you out and not jump to some conclusions or tell you no before they've even heard what the question is. Wooden Glass is famous for their willingness to go the extra step with you. They can customize glass for your home, for your office. I am one of those people that has benefited because we took some of the glass product that they offer and installed it here in our studios. They did all of that for us. One of those items is a glass panel that we use as a whiteboard. So you can write on it. It's got a sheet of vinyl in between two plates of glass that is seamless, right? It's a great product. Sue Semero has it over there at FSU in their facilities. It's translucent, so it allows a certain amount of light to pass, but it has this whiteboard sort of capability. And the glass, of course, never stains. So when you wipe off the glass, looks like it's brand new. Very cool product. Got that from Wooden Glass. They're down there on South Monroe. Let me give you a phone number. 222-5781. That's area 850, of course. 222-5781. You can ask for any of them. Jack, Robert, Kathy, Chris, they're all there to serve you. Or you can walk in. They're on the South Monroe, about a mile south of the railroad overpass on your left as you're going south. Great little company. And their slogan is Tallahassee's First Family in Glass, which is kind of cool. And along with them supporting the various schools and programs that they have historically, and they're always putting ads in some high school program, right? Very much involved in the community. They're one of the sponsors for our annual Help Us Help Christmas Connection. They're a sponsor in our current Tallahassee Food Challenge, and now a sponsor again in our Tallahassee Prepared Challenge, or Tallahassee Prepared Campaign. I mean, they're just always there, looking for ways that they can help us improve our lives and provide the services and the products that we need a little more efficiently, a little more effectively. So I encourage you to check them out. You can find them online at woodenglass.com. And again, that phone number, for your sake, is 850-222-5781. Wooden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass. I've got Emily Fritz coming up here right after this break. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Don't go away.
Will you vote in the upcoming primary election on August 28th? This is your opportunity to help decide who will lead our community in years ahead. county commissioners, city commissioners, Tallahassee mayor, school board members, and judges will all be on the ballot. And every local office on the August ballot is nonpartisan. Early voting begins August 18th and continues until August 26th.
Hello, I'm Mark Early, Leon County Supervisor of Election. The August 28th primary can decide many local races. Regretfully, a relatively small percentage of voters actually vote in this election. But that means your vote has even greater impact in August than it will in November. And remember, every voter will be able to vote in local races regardless of their party affiliation.
Make an impact. Vote local with either early voting August 18th through the 26th or in the primary election on August 28th. Find out more at leonvotes.org. A message from your Leon County Supervisor of Elections.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Emily Fritz has lived in Tallahassee since 1985 and in Florida since 1976 for 30 years. She worked in the private sector, serving various organizations, 10 years in state government. Her career began as a clinical dietitian in an Ocala hospital. From there, she moved into medical sales and later into managed care and association management. 2016, she retired from a statewide professional association where she served as the executive director. Her experience in both government and the private sector provide her the opportunity to learn how to solve problems and how organizations should operate. She's a graduate of the University of Alabama with a degree in nutrition, and she is our guest this morning. How are you, Ms. Fritz?
I'm fine. Thank you for inviting me.
Nice to have you.
Thank you.
I'm curious as to why you've chosen to go into this position or seek this position. And how the fact that you don't have that kind of background is part of your decision, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think the fact that I have not been elected before is an asset. Yeah. Because right now, the people in Leon County are very frustrated with our local government. Mm. We have high crime, high taxes, a mediocre economy, and a government that a lot of people do not trust. Mm-hmm. My background, as you said, I worked for 40 years, and I retired a couple of years ago. The reason I'm running is because, frankly, I'm worried about Leon County.
Mm, how so?
It's not the same place I moved to 33 years ago. Oh. It was not number one in crime when I moved here. The economy, there weren't as many people struggling as there are now. And I do not recall 33 years ago as much distrust of local government. I do think Leon County is still a very nice place, but we need change, and I'm a change agent, and I will be a bold change agent.
How do you come to knowing the level of distrust? Where are you hearing that, or who are you hearing that from, I guess?
Almost everybody. I've been going door to door in the district. And people say, "Oh, I want somebody new." They say, "I'm going to vote against any incumbent," and then of course I have to inform them there's not an incumbent in this race, and then I tell them why I'm the best candidate. Right. But that is a universal opinion that I'm hearing from the vast majority of people.
So as you have canvassed the neighborhoods, then it's your firsthand experience.
Yes.
When you talk with those who are already in office, thinking city or county, and you've had conversations, I'm sure, with various individuals, what have you learned about how, we'll say, for the county, how is it that these county commissioners work and get things done from your point of view?
Well, first let me say I personally like the county commissioners. I think that they are basically decent people, but there is a culture of there's an establishment culture, and frankly, I do not think they listen to the average person as well as they should. It's a group of political insiders that have been running our government for a long time, and it's become egregious over the last few years. And I really think perhaps the sitting commissioners are not quite aware of how much the establishment has been affecting them. I have talked with a number of the commissioners individually on various issues.
Right.
I will say they are polite and respectful.
Huh.
So I wouldn't say that they're rude to me by any means, but I do not feel like they look at the big picture.
Okay.
And the impact some of their decisions have on the average person.
I see.
And it's
okay.
Usually on budget issues that I've talked to them about.
Okay. And on the budgetary issues and those expenditures that you've seen, let's say, in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, are there those that you think are particularly way out of step or egregious, or is it all good? Is it all bad? I mean, where do you stand on those questions?
Okay. Are you talking about any specific budget issues?
I'm talking about how the county spends its money. And I'm talking about where we have put the emphasis, and then are we spending too much on local services, social services, and such? Are we not spending enough on infrastructure, roads, and such? I mean, how do you look at it? What would you consider the state of the situation?
Well, I think the county has developed a bit of mission creep, as have many governments. I don't think the county is unique in this. They've been funding social events, and then sometimes I watch the county commission meeting. They talk about all the events they have, and I think, well, is the county commission supposed to be an event planning organization, or are they supposed to take care of core services?
Mm.
I think the county needs to get back to the core services, public safety and infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
That is what local government's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to create fancy programs with cute names so they can hold press conferences. Mm-hmm. They need to get back to the basics.
Give me an example of that, some kind of cute program that you thought, come on, is that really a good use of our money?
Well, the one that I'm thinking of is the one that I'm thinking of most recently is actually a city program.
Uh-huh.
That was the rent a bicycle program.
Mm.
I think that could have been done by a private vendor rather than have this, you know, cutesy program. I like riding bicycles. Don't take me wrong.
Right.
But I don't know if that was a government responsibility.
I got you. Okay. So for you, it's really just a matter of overreach. They get beyond what should be their core mission.
Yes.
As a municipality.
Well, yes. As a county, yes.
Okay. All right. So you come to the discussion, and how would you individually then try to correct that as you see it?
Well, one of the things we need to do is start from scratch. We have, when the county does its budget, they have a tendency to look at the previous year's budget as their baseline. The county needs to implement a zero-based budgeting system.
Mm-hmm.
That means you start from scratch. You start at zero, and as you add items to the budget line by line, you have to have justification for every single line.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's more work to do it that way,
right.
And you have to be able to justify it. And we also need to appoint a Citizens Budget Advisory Committee so the public will have more input at the very beginning, not when the budget package is presented to the commissioners at the budget hearing, at the budget workshop.
We had John Daly here a few weeks back, and he made the point. He said, you know, people concerned about the degree that they are taxed, the property taxes in Leon County. So we're one of the lowest taxed counties in the state, if not the lowest. You feel like the county takes too much of our money, or would you encourage tax increases going forward, or how would you deal with just the overall millage, I guess?
And actually, I have respect for John Daly, but I'm going to disagree with him on that.
Hmm.
Leon County has high taxes, not low taxes.
Hmm.
And I don't have the list of all 67 counties in front of me, but our millage rate is a bit high, and we also have a separate MSTU. And then when you add in our gas tax, which is at the max, sales tax, communications fees, the fire services fees, the stormwater fees, we are highly taxed.
Hmm.
And when I talk to people in Leon County who have moved here from other counties, they notice it.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the county's contribution there, I think that's what John is saying, that, yeah, your point is there are a lot of other costs involved when you live in this part of Florida, when you live in the Tallahassee, Leon County area, and you mentioned utility fees and so forth that are not county specific, but it does add to the overall cost, doesn't it? Sales tax, part of that as well.
Well, and that's county. The county's involved in the sales tax.
Sure. So I'm just asking if you think in terms of how you can fix that, you would what? You would want to discourage increase or try to roll back county taxes? I mean, what's the
solution? Well, the one that is most flexible is the property tax because the millage rate is determined every single year. The others are less flexible.
Okay.
Because the sales, there are a couple of sales tax issues that were voted on through referendum,
right?
And so that is not flexible.
Right.
But the property tax is, because again, it's set every year. Mm-hmm. And again, getting back to the zero-based budgeting, getting back to our core services.
She's running for Leon County Commission District 3. Our guest is Emily Fritz. You stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town, kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just tasty pastry good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? You want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Emily Fritz is with us. She is a graduate of Leadership Tallahassee, part of the Capital Area Healthy Start Case Review Team, committee chairman for Leon County School Health Advisory Committee, part of the NEBA organization, Network of Entrepreneurs and Business Advocates, a board member there. On it goes. She has demonstrated for a number of years her involvement in civic and social organizations, business organizations, recognized by the Tallahassee Democrat as one of the 25 women you need to know. That's why she's here, because I need to know this woman, according to Skip Foster over there at the newspaper. So good to know you. And you are not a native of the Tallahassee area. What did it say earlier? You came here in 85. Right? Is that right?
Well, I came to Tallahassee in 85. I came to Florida.
What brought you to Tallahassee, I guess?
I was transferred by my employer.
Employer, okay.
I was in medical sales at the time. I lived in Pinellas County.
Ah.
And I moved up here, being from Alabama. Mm-hmm. It was closer to my hometown.
There you go.
And
Roll Tide.
Yeah, Roll Tide Roll.
Mm-hmm. So are you, when you think back to, you know, that's nearly 40 years ago, 35 years ago, do you remember any of your initial, I guess, impressions, your thoughts about Tallahassee then?
I will say at the time, it was a bit of a culture shock.
How so?
Because Pinellas County, totally different demographics. Most of the people there are, at the time I lived there, I don't know what it's like now. Most of them were from northern states.
I see.
And it was a much faster moving place. High traffic, just a totally different culture. And I moved up here, and it was a culture shock for me, which is interesting because I grew up in Alabama. And yeah. I remember when I first moved here, I thought the people talked a little too southernly. And now, of course, right. I don't notice it, which is amusing because I know I have a southern accent. But
grits is a two-syllable word.
It's really funny. And now, of course, like I said, I'm used to it. But at first, I was so accustomed to talking to people from New York and New England who lived in Pinellas County.
That's changed a bit, do you think? in migration, people coming from other parts of the country. We talk a lot here about the old and the new Tallahassee. We've got Tom Flanagan coming up here in the second hour. Tom and I talk often about that. Mike Sheridan was here a few weeks ago, brought the same topic to bear, that we're in this sort of interesting period of transition. And there's a pushback from those who don't want things to change. Now, that was my experience initially. I got here in 78, and I had people telling me, no, we don't want Tallahassee to change. We want to keep it a small, southern, sleepy town. And they pushed hard on that question and did a pretty good job of holding the reins tightly. These days, it seems as though some of that has slipped and some of the changes are occurring. You agree with that?
I do think it has changed, and I think change is inevitable no matter where you are. I go back to my home state of Alabama, and it has changed as well. So, yes, it's inevitable, and I think some of the changes are good, but some of the changes are not so good. And, again, the high crime and the lack of trust of local government, I think those are not good changes.
Yeah. What's the cause? Why are we seeing those high crime rates in Tallahassee, do you think?
Well, I do not think our government has been focused on the core issues. Again, we just need to get back to core services. One of the things I plan to do as commissioner is make sure the sheriff has the resources he needs and hold him accountable for using them efficiently. Okay. I don't care if we have press conferences or things like that. Just solve the problem.
So resources meaning what?
The county funds the sheriff's office.
Right.
I am not a law enforcement agent, so I do not pretend to have expertise in this subject, but I know he and his people do.
Okay. And so what leads you to think that they do not have the resources that they need now?
Well, and I'm not saying he doesn't. But I'm just saying that something I need to make sure he has, and we need to monitor how it's going. I know he, with this new budget cycle, he is going to get some additional deputies and some additional resources,
okay,
which he very well may need. And by then I will be in office and I'll get to see how it goes.
So I'm hearing you say that if we look at the cause of the high crime rate as it occurs, right, for this area, we should look to the side of law enforcement or to the correction of the crime that occurs. So I guess when you think of the sheriff's office, right, and what they need to do differently, you're saying, well, we need to make sure they continue to have the resources they need.
Yes.
I guess what does law enforcement do? Should they do that they may not be doing to stop crime?
And again, I am not an expert in law enforcement. Mm. So again, and this is something that I will delve into deeper after I'm elected. Mm. Now, I'm not saying that law enforcement is the only solution to the crime. The best thing to do is to prevent it.
And how do we do that?
If our economy improves, I think fewer people will resort to crime.
Okay.
Oh, and I do need to backtrack a second. Another thing that can help is fixing the dispatch center so that law enforcement agents will be used more effectively.
I see.
Right now, with all the issues going on, their time is not being utilized most efficiently.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you correctly there, it sounds like the confluence of circumstances, particularly, I guess, poverty that contributes to the occurrence of crime, law enforcement that may or may not have the resources it needs to control it, and then the consolidated dispatch office that has to be better organized, administered.
Well, it needs to be managed better. There's no doubt about that.
Right. We've seen locally.
Absolutely.
Recently. Talk of some of the falling out.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of staff turnover. Uh-huh. They're not trained properly.
Okay.
And it has an odd management structure. There's a board of directors at the top, which consists of the sheriff, the city manager and the county administrator. And then there's another layer underneath it. It's called a management team, but it seems to have no authority. It's odd. And I don't understand that.
Well, I don't either. And here's a question. How do the commissioners for Leon County as a body have anything to do with that?
The county administrator works for them, and he works at their direction.
Okay. What does Tallahassee look like 5 years from now? What does Leon County look like five years from now?
I think Leon County will look better in 5 years than it does today. I think Leon County is still a nice place, but I do think we will resolve the issues with the lack of trust of our local government. This is an opportunity for the voters to put in some new people who will change the culture of our government. That will change how Tallahassee looks, because we certainly don't want the look we've got now with some of our news stories.
Well, folks, this is why she's here, to better inform us as to her candidacy. She is running for Leon County Commission District 3. Our guest this morning, Emily Fritz. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you much.
Stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up here in the second hour. Tom Flanagan will be with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
At Gain Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh made ranch, and homemade meatballs. Recipe by recipe. So less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients. And made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gain Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, available online. TallahasseeTalks.com is where we live. Now in our eighth season, man, lots of folks that we have gotten to know and brought you over time, everybody from First Lady Ann Scott to Eric Barron and Ernie Sims, football player, Florida State, and various other pro teams. Commissioners, mayors, entertainers, musicians, stage actors, all kinds of folks, community leaders, and those who provide social services, civic services, just a host of folks. And the common thread here, I have to say, I think it's a fair statement. And I'll say it's true of the majority of the people that I've had privilege of talking with. They're just good people. Okay, so this thing about Tallahassee's best natural resource is its people, okay? Well, I'm not sure if that's true or not. Maybe it is. But if it is true, I certainly can attest to the fact, and maybe you'll agree with me, that in the course of now almost 8 years, a lot of them have come this way. And we've found out that, they really want what is good to have happen for the people that they're working for or working with, or the services that they're trying to bring to this community, right? That's my observation. People who are very passionate about the kind of performance they bring, if they're a musician or a songwriter, the people who are administrators and people who are responsible to the public for services like fire and sheriff and police force. I mean, all of them bring to that conversation this very, very broad sense of conversation, the same level of commitment, it seems to me. And they're just interesting people. You find out a lot of very quirky things about people. For example, Mark Early, or Mark was here last Saturday. Did you know that he has a degree in mechanical engineering? No, I bet you didn't. Did you know that Eric Barron, while he was here as president, told me that he always wanted to be a geologist, even as a kid? For his birthday, I think his eighth birthday, he asked for a geology kit. So, and that his role as president of Florida State University was really kind of thrust upon him, having stepped into that arena back there in Texas when he was, I think, at Texas Tech, maybe Texas A&M, I don't remember. It was one of the schools in Texas. Wasn't the University of Texas. But anyway, these things that you find out about people who find themselves doing things that they hadn't anticipated doing. Just never occurred to them that was going to be their major contribution in life, let's say, or a big part of it. And so it is today. We got Tom Flanagan coming up here in the second hour. And Tom is a guy who, man, has been up and down the line as a musician, as a broadcaster, as a news director. And he's done well, in my opinion. Good-hearted, talented, serving the community in his way. Settled in over there at WFSU a number of years ago, serving as their news director, and hosts this nifty little show, Perspectives, that airs Thursday mornings at 11 on WFSU. A charming individual, I think that's a fair statement. I don't think I've ever met anybody who doesn't like Tom Flanagan. So whatever is wrong with Tom, he's just doing a very good job of masking that for the sake of all of us. Right, Carl? We just want to remain uninformed when it comes to any of Tom's personal flaws, because we otherwise like him so much, and he's just such a good person to so many people. And you kind of have to be in a role like that, right? Because he has to just kind of stay above the fray, I think, when you're in the kind of work that he does as a newscaster and a radio show host and news director, you know. Now he's the program director of news. It's his official title. We're going to find out from him exactly what he's doing over there. But he's here today, and he's our guest, and we've got him for the rest of the hour. I'm going to ask him a lot about the current scene, local politics, and what's going on. And, you know, it's part of our mantra here. We talk about the new and the old Tallahassee. And it occurred to me, I'm kind of forming my list. Okay, so I've got this little T chart, you know, the little T table, left side, right side. And on the left side of the T is the old Tallahassee, and the right side is the new Tallahassee. So I've come up with my initial list of old and new. See if you buy into this. And maybe you will start your own list. Who knows? I'd like to have you share that with me. I think the old Tallahassee was exclusive. The new Tallahassee is inclusive. We've heard the word siloed Tallahassee. Mike Sheridan talked about that. Several have talked about the silos of control, power, money, land, ownership, influence, political influence. So the old Tallahassee is siloed. The new Tallahassee is, we'll say, more dispersed, more evenly distributed. More so, perhaps. Not entirely, but more so. Old Tallahassee, more segmented, segregated, separated. New Tallahassee, more connected, interactive, sharing back and forth. Old Tallahassee, more competitive. New Tallahassee, more cooperative, collaborative. That kind of crossing of the aisle, that kind of interconnection, collaboration, sharing. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That can happen. It certainly can happen. It can happen within a generation, be honest with you, in my opinion. Well, that's what we're doing here today. We're talking about the future of and what Tallahassee will bring to this modern world we live in the coming years. We had Emily Fritz with us in the first hour. If you missed that, or if you've missed any of the shows, you know you can go online. TallahasseeTalks.com is the place. Go to the archive, and you'll find today's show, as well as any and all of the shows that we've brought you in our history. Pleasure to do so. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you're into that sort of thing, because that is a great way of staying in tune with us. And, of course, it's broadcast Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock on 93.3 Real Talk FM. And simulcast on our own radio station, MooseMagnificat.com. Maybe that's where you're listening right now. If you are, welcome. Glad you're with me. And then it's repeated again tonight at 9:30 on Moose and Wednesday at 5:30 on Moose. MooseMagnificat.com. Tallahassee's radio to the world. It's the sound of Tallahassee. All local musicians playing their original songs. That's Moose Magnificat. Folks, stay with me. I got Tom Flanagan. We'll be right back.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom bath or shower enclosure from Widden Glass. Don't wait for the holiday rush. Widden Glass will take care of you this summer to your complete satisfaction. They've been helping to design and install bath and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with real glass people, experienced, reliable professionals. Widden's top-of-the-line bath and shower enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style.
Call today, Widden Glass, the real glass people, 222-5781, or online at widdenglass.com, W-H-I-D-D-O-N. Widden, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945, 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Tom Flanagan joined WFSU-FM as a reporter in 2006. He was only 12. No, that's not right. His current job title is, are you ready for this? Program Director for News. Wow. His previous broadcast experience includes news directorships at numerous commercial stations in Maryland, Texas, and Florida. Apparently, he's still on the run from that little incident back there in Texas, but we won't talk about that today. I'm embellishing, Tom. Okay,
I know you are, Brian.
He also was involved with the corporate communications arena, serving as media liaison for an international telecommunications company, as well as the entity that promotes Florida as a tourism destination. So let us welcome the highly esteemed and mentor to so many, including yours truly, Tom Flanagan. There you are.
Well, thank you,
that's
Brian.
Some of my best work right there
that
for you.
That was so well done.
I was going to try to make up some more stuff, but, you know, your press folks were way out ahead of us on that deal, and kind of had to stick to some of the facts as we know them.
Well, there's one or two in there, but we won't embellish them, and we'll both forget about that incident in Texas.
Yes, absolutely. So just for the sake of clarity, there was no incident in Texas that I know, I'm aware of. You know, whatever Tom chooses to tell you, that's his business. So, wow, record number of folks that have thrown in their hat, we'd say. Why is that, do you think? Why is there such an increased interest in candidacy candidacy?
All I can figure, Brian, is that you've got a great compulsion on the part of many people right now to fix what they perceive is broken. And I don't only mean city government here in Tallahassee. We know about the FBI investigation and all of this sort of thing. Yeah. But we seem to be going through a lot of changes right now, and you don't fix what isn't
broken,
messed up. And that seems that to have led to a lot of people jumping into the political landscape right now to say, I can fix it. I can make it better. And that's why I think we had My gosh, the other night when we did this whole thing on WFSU TV, this bandwagon exercise where all the candidates get 2 minutes to make their case, we had a total of 35 people who came out for that in races for city and county commission and the school board and the various judgeships that are in play right now. But remember, the conventional wisdom is, oh, no one wants to get involved in politics. I wouldn't put myself through that. Oh, my gosh, it's horrible. It's terrible. But here we have an entire plethora of folks that are that have jumped into this.
Yeah, and that's a remarkable thing, the number of people that you and I've talked to who themselves occupy an office. I think of Brian Deloge, who I think on every appearance on the show will say, oh, be sure to run for office. Consider running for office. I think Ziffer has made that comment. I guess they all say it at one time or another. And yet we look back at that and go, why would you want to do that? Why would you subject yourself? I asked Dustin Daniels that last Saturday. I was like, you had a good thing going here, man. Why are you doing this? And your comment is, yeah, because there's this generally perceived need for fixing. And I think in the case of Daniels and maybe some others, he called it a chip on his shoulder, you know, and he said, I'm moving forward on this, that I'm still determined to make things right and to try to push forward for, as an advocate for change. For change's sake, I think, in some respects, and I'm not saying that that's entirely his position. I think some people come to the conversation and say, what's Bill Shack's statement? Because it's time. Well, time for what? You know, change for change's sake. Well, yeah, because we need to change things, okay? Well, how does that change bring about the greater good, let's say, or the greatest possible good, for the greatest number of people over the greatest period of time? That's sort of the way I look at it. And I'm wondering if you're in your conversations, and you've talked and will talk with every single one of these people, to your credit, how do they deal with that kind of question? What is your motive? Why do you want to do this?
I see them as surfers. They are riding the wave because there is a larger element of change at play in this community right now. Have you ever, in all of your years in Florida's capital city, seen as much physical change as is going on right now? And it's not just that whole college town development down along Gaines and Madison Street.
Right.
It's in every,
it's all over,
in every part of this town. It is changing. While some other Florida cities have been kind of lagging in the wake of the real estate recovery, we are racing forward. We are seeing property values starting to come back.
Yep.
We are starting to see, if nothing else, a lot of business investment. And it's not just mattress stores. There's a lot of other stuff going on
there
here.
There are housing developments. There's all the stuff going up on the Bannerman area, commercial developments, right? Even light manufacturing, you got facilities going up, government, recreation, everybody's contributing in some fashion.
Sure. Entrepreneurship. You've got Domi Station. You have all these other incubators that are scattered all over town, and the push to, hey, don't just be a state government worker anymore, which used to be the coin of the realm in this town. Break out on your own and form your own business and become wealthy or do something. But that leads us to something that you and I referenced before. The microphones went hot, which is we have now a lot of old-time Tallahassee folks, and I don't mean in age. This is not just folks in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. It can be folks who are in their 20s. They just got here, and they said, ah, we love it the way it is now. Don't change it. Huh. And another group of people to say, oh, my gosh, we are on the cusp of something bigger, something better. We're moving forward. It's dynamic. It's whatever. And you have that yin and yang that is already set up. That's causing conflict. And again, our political surfers, I think, are riding those various waves.
Okay. So the conflict shows up how? Where do you see it surface, I guess? Is it people pushing back and saying, no, I don't want to be a part of that? Or do they form some kind of a roadblock to defend whatever they feel is their position? I mean, how does that play out?
Well, pick your poison. You have some candidates who are urging caution, a more circumspect look at how we grow, how we develop. That whole pushback against the Community Redevelopment Agency is one thing. Okay. Where you have other folks who say, yeah, we can use government resources, local government resources to focus on the problems that are preventing us from reaching that bright and wonderful future that we envision. Okay. And other folks are saying, no, let's not move so fast.
Right.
Take it easy.
Slow down.
Hold back.
Folks, we've got Tom Flanagan here. I promise you, you stay with me, you're going to learn more in the next 30 minutes than you ever thought you would about this town and local politics. We'll be right back.
Will you vote in the upcoming primary election on August 28th? This is your opportunity to help decide who will lead our community in years ahead. County commissioners, city commissioners, Tallahassee mayor, school board members, and judges will all be on the ballot. And every local office on the August ballot is nonpartisan. Early voting begins August 18th and continues until August 26th.
Hello, I'm Mark Early, Leon County Supervisor of Election. The August 28th primary can decide many local races. Regretfully, a relatively small percentage of voters actually vote in this election. But that means your vote has even greater impact in August than it will in November. And remember, every voter will be able to vote in local races regardless of their party affiliation.
Make an impact. Vote local with either early voting August 18th through the 26th or in the primary election on August 28th. Find out more at leonvotes.org. A message from your Leon County Supervisor of Elections.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking to Tom Flanagan. He is, if I may say this, although it sounds sort of cheesy, Mr. WFSU, has been for a number of years officially the program director for news, which is a very curious title to me. You're not the news director, you're the program director for news, which just means that that opens you up to every other guy and gal out there who wants to throw you a pitch, right?
It's so, pretty much so, but it's also a liberating thing because I have such a great staff. I've got Lynn Hatter as news director, Regan McCarthy as assignment editor, and a great team of reporters.
How
right
cool
now.
Is that?
And so they're doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and I can kind of, here's something really cool, and I'll run off and work
that.
On that for a while.
Yeah.
And the wheels don't fall off the bus while I'm out of the building.
Indeed. So. Yeah. Well, you've been greasing those wheels for some time, and you're very good at it. So I will say that I think all of us who have been your fans and followers for these number of years are fortunate that you have chosen to stick around in this here town and help us, you know, poor heathens, better understand what the heck's going on. When you see some of these candidates, and we're picking on the upcoming primary particularly, but some of these candidates who, riding that surf, as you've described it, don't come with more than maybe a one-page resume, if at that, and not a whole lot of thought, it seems to me, given to the number of topics that one could consider. So if you're running for this city county position, what's your thought about, violent crime and how we're going to deal with that? Some of the responses have been, let's just say, a bit shallow from my point of view. And yet they're there. They're on the ballot.
Nothing new, Brian. I have revisited. Oh my gosh, I'm going to give away a lot of old secrets right now.
That's why you're here. I promise I won't tell anybody.
Go ahead. This was a book that was assigned in college, and I blew through it and did moderately well on the tests, I guess. But I rediscovered the wisdom of Richard Hofstadter. Oh. And he won a Pulitzer Prize in 1964 for a book. Great title here, boys and girls. Anti-Intellectualism in America. And boy, you think, that's a yawner. But he predicted all the stuff that we're going through now with the divisiveness in this country and the political sniping and how we're all at each other's throats. And it's almost like, you know, what happens in some of these Middle Eastern countries where you have the Sunni and Shia, you know, killing each other over the, you know, whether or not there was a 12th Imam, I don't know. But we have gotten to that point nationally, and we're seeing a little bit of it locally until you get all of these people in the same room together. And then it turns out they're pretty good friends. Yeah. They can get along okay. Yeah. But on our political scale here, Hofstadter gets into that a good person. He used to be a good man, but we must be more diverse nowadays.
Yes.
A good person with common sense and a big heart can solve any problem. And yet we are now a community of somewhere around 300,000 people, a state capital city, and there are a lot of really complex issues on a number of scales that require a degree of background and experience and competence and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that sets up another interesting dynamic. Will the good heart with a common sense approach...
Yeah.
Can they do a better job of this as the person who maybe has been involved with government on multiple levels for many, many years and comes in and knows how to read a budget and knows how to fill out an application for whatever and all of that sort of thing?
Right.
And we're seeing that play out locally, too. So I think that's where a lot of these candidates are coming from.
Interesting. Oh, I think of Jeremy Matlow in that capacity. You know, this is a guy whose story he has told quite well, and with the help of some other folks, his sister included. Hasn't relied on local media particularly. His campaign has been built around social media and targeting that younger population of folks, let's say in their 20s and 30s, has, by all accounts, has pretty much won that part of the vote. But when it comes to connecting with older conservatives, not so much. Perhaps to be seen. But he's a guy who has and proud of it, a political experience. Doesn't like being referred to as a politician. You know, he finds that a pejorative way of referring to his candidacy. In fact, what he brings is the consumer's level of experience with government, talking about, you know, how long it took for him to get his building permits. So is it that kind of stuff that you say this is what's driving a lot of these folks, because they come at it from their own personal history with local government, and that may be a bit myopic. You know, it's narrowed down to maybe that level of experience. But when it comes to how you solve poverty in the 32304 zip code, they're clueless. They really don't have a plan.
Or they may have an idea that the folks who have been deeply entrenched in government function for years and years haven't thought of yet. That's a possibility, and we can't discount that. This fresh thinking, new ideas, all of that coming at these problems from a different angle, from a totally, some would say, uninformed angle.
Yeah.
But they may have something there that just hasn't been tried yet. On the other hand, you have someone like, say, a John Daly, a county commissioner now trying to make the transition into the mayor's office at City Hall, who is a self-described wonk, who knows municipal government inside and outside. He's consulted other cities on this sort of thing.
Mm.
And so you've got the whole spectrum lined up before you. You know, young, dynamic people like the aforementioned Jeremy Matlow and Richard Garzola and all these others, Kerry Litherland, a whole bunch of other people who have jumped into this race and say, hey, I bring something to this table.
I wonder too, Tom, if you talked about riding the surf, Tallahassee arguably is in this crossroads kind of experience, the old and the new, some pushing back on one side or the other, some charging ahead full steam. You've been here long enough. I've been here long enough to say, yeah, there's something that seems to be happening by, there are a lot of things that are happening by design. Okay, so we can point to certain, not just installations like Cascades Park, okay, but then the creation of festivals. And then there's the sort of creation of programs, you know, Leon County deciding that they're going to make sure that parents have paid leave, you know, if they for during pregnancy, right? That's a remarkable decision, considering. But with all of that going on, it seems to me, there's also the change that is sort of, if you want to call it organic, that's this outcome of a kind of critical mass. You know, with all of that going on, there's a synergy then. There's something else that comes up out of that where people begin to imagine something they didn't imagine before. Maybe we could be that, or maybe we could be this. Kerry Post was on some time ago running Visit Tallahassee, right? Leon County Tourist Development Council of the old days. And Kerry, when we asked her, I said, well, do we need a brand, a slogan for the? And she said, oh, heavens no. She said, what we really need to do is figure out who we are. And we certainly don't need an ad agency to tell us what our brand is or our slogan. We need to come to that by considering all that this town is bringing. And I want to ask you, when you think of those, we'll call them subpopulations, right? Segments of our community that are so disenfranchised from that discussion, how do we work them into that mix? How do we work them into the branding? You know, Visit Tallahassee, where violent crime is a thing of the past. You know, there's our slogan. Where CRA investigations, you know, are well behind us now. How do we take what arguably would be considered a kind of negative and work that forward? Think about that. We're going to take a quick break. I've got Tom Flanagan here, and I'm talking too much. Stay with me. Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town, kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just Tasty Pastry good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? Yeah, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back with the answer man, Tom Flanagan. He's here to solve all of our problems and answer questions because he just knows so much, and he knows so many people. I don't think I've ever put a name in front of Tom that he doesn't go, oh, yeah, I know that guy or gal. So the question is, if we're changing, and it seems that we are, again, by design or by default, some of this coming up out of the ranks, some of it happening as this interaction goes on. How do we include more people in that conversation?
You just put your finger on a possible solution.
Ah.
And I don't know a lot of people because I go out and meet a lot of people. It is sort of part of the shtick that you have to do in order to do what I do.
Right.
But Tallahassee is still, despite its expanding size, a very small town.
Huh.
You cannot go to the local Publix and not run into five or six people that you know.
Indeed.
It is impossible. Mm. And I know cities that are like one-tenth the size of Tallahassee, where you can go weeks and not run into anyone you know.
Interesting.
I have no idea why that is. I haven't researched it yet, but that may be the key to having more of this inclusiveness, of building more coalitions, of getting more people to decide, hey, what the heck are we anyway? Because we're always running out trying to figure out. I remember going on an expedition with about 36 movers and shakers and Governor Graham and the presidents of the universities. God rest you, Bernie Sliger of Florida State University, who went to Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Because we were going to be the next high-tech center.
Indeed.
Okay, that fell through. Innovation Park is still struggling. Doing better, but not where it wants to be yet. And then Chattanooga and Memphis and all these other
and
places.
Boulder. Yeah.
And Boulder. None of which are Tallahassee.
Huh.
So we're still like the teenager who has the identity crisis.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get a handle on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that will come again from the people who live here. They are part and parcel of creating what this city is that makes it so amenable to other people coming in here and saying, what a neat town. How many folks do you know, Brian, who have graduated from FAMU or Florida State? They move on into the big wide world, trying to make their fortune, and suddenly wind up back here again.
Yeah.
It happens.
A lot of them. And a lot of them are saying, I came back because I couldn't find out there the same level of connectivity, that familiarity, the six people that I see at the grocery store. In all the years that I was away, I never developed that. But here I found that. My concern a lot of times comes back to history and the history of those segments of our community where you'd like to see them participating. And it's a give and take. You know, they have to be motivated. They have to take initiative. They have to show up at those conversations, at those moments when. And on the flip side, people have to say, hey, you're invited. Come be a part of this. How do we make that happen?
Boy, that is tough. And here's a perfect example, because I've been wrestling with this, Brian, for, oh gosh, a couple years. You've seen what's happened with Frenchtown. That used to be, that was the only place that African Americans, beyond Smoky Hollow, after it got wiped out by the Department of Transportation building. Gee, talk about change.
Right.
The gentrification of Frenchtown, not total, but it's certainly more gentrified than it used to be.
Right.
But you still have some areas on the south side in that South City corridor down there on the other side of the soon-to-be-abandoned CSX tracks. That's another story. That most people who have an income level more than $10,000 a year fear to tread. And one of the pushes I know for Dr. Robinson at Florida A&M University and Maisha Mitchell of the Frenchtown Redevelopment Group and several others is, how do we, as African Americans, increase our connectivity with those folks? Yeah. You're not going to get a white bread kid like me going down there and saying, hey, you want to be part of the community?
Yeah.
That's probably not going to work. But you see this especially in the more affluent and professional African-Americans in this town saying, hey, we got to bring in the other brothers and sisters, and we got to figure out a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of white folks and Asian folks and Hispanic folks elsewhere in the community say, hey, can we be at least, can we have your back on this somehow?
Yeah.
So that there is entrepreneurship in that community. There is no reason why you have a convenience store that is owned by, let's say, ethnically other folks in some of these black communities.
Right.
When there used to be black-owned businesses all through this town.
Yeah.
And they were successful.
Yeah.
So how do you get back to making that happen? That increases the inclusivity of this community a great deal.
I think of the cooperation, and this is a minuscule idea, I guess, in comparison to with what you're describing. But here you have Envision Credit Union and FSU Credit Union that come together in Frenchtown with Bethel AME Church, and they say, let's create a financial opportunity center in Frenchtown for people who've never had a checking account and teach them how that works. That seems contributive to me. If you can take that and scale it up, maybe. Is that the idea that within the African American community, maybe they're saying at least don't get in our way, you know, if we can create those kind of coalitions among businesses and churches that in a similar way can help foster the communication and the participation, huh?
Yeah, because it's going to take the entire community to take care of this just nagging, horrific problem of income disparity that we have in this community. Yeah. I mean, Forbes magazine comes out and just says, Tallahassee, you got a problem.
Big time.
And
they're not the first.
Yes. And that is, I think, the major stumbling block that could derail all of these wonderful dreams that people are talking about and what we can be and aspire to be and all that. Yeah. We got to handle that somehow.
Yeah. When you talk to those people, and I know you've talked to a lot of people and you talk with them every week on your show, in business, back and forth, what do they say? Clearly, you've challenged them with the question: how do we do this? What are you hearing?
And part of it is a cultural resistance. It's not racial. I grew up in a Western Maryland, which was more West Virginia community, that was 98% white, and we had folks who could not aspire to do anything other than remain in the little constricted bubble where they had grown up and their parents and parents before them had grown up. And it's a matter of giving people, I think, inspiration, motivation, mentorship, examples, just the entire wealth of resources you can bring to bear on a problem. And that's where it's going to take, I think, again, it's going to have to be led by more affluent and professional folks within the African-American community to help kick this off.
He is the weekly host of Perspectives on WFSU FM, Thursday mornings.
11 o'clock.
From 11 to noon. Is that right?
Yep.
One of the best hours on radio in this town and maybe in many towns. You want to make sure you're listening in with Tom Flanagan, our guest today, who we not only love and adore, we trust. You know, there's a lot of people in my life that I love and adore, but I don't trust them. This is a guy that I trust. When he tells you this is the way it is, you can hang your hat on it. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Brian, and all the best to Tallahassee Talks.
Thanks so much. Folks, that's what we do here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, Tallahassee's radio to the world. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me. At Gain Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh made ranch, and homemade meatballs. Recipe by recipe. So, less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients. And made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gain Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.